I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 this morning, book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to deal with some things this morning that, quite frankly, a lot of times pastors are afraid to tread upon because it deals with the sacred cows of some peoples. And we're going to look at something here, and I hope that we can gain some insight. And I hope that I can show you this from a biblical standpoint, and that as a result of that, you simply might know God better. That's the real purpose. I believe that my job as a pastor, as a Christian, is to seek to win people to Christ, but it's also my job to seek to see God's people understanding the Word. And when you do that, coupled with it, are many warnings, because the Word of God has, it's filled with warnings. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. This is what happens if you do. And so I want us to look here. Chapter number 18, did I tell you that? Book of Deuteronomy, verse number 9. If you go down there, we're just going to read five verses here this morning. Verses 9, 10, 11, 12. I guess that's four. I can't even add this morning. It says, when thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do those things, notice that word, are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity to open it. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would show us your marvelous truth. Lord, help us to be receivers of it. And Lord God, that through it, that you might receive the honor. Too often we steal that from you, and we ask your forgiveness in that. Blessed in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I believe each one of us could probably say that we live in perilous times. It's probably an understatement. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And of course, we see the peril that's in our nation. Matter of fact, we sit here this morning and we wonder what's going to happen after the election. Because there have been those who have said that if it doesn't go the way they want, they're going to riot in the street, they're going to burn things down, and they just soon burn the whole country down. And by the way, there are some folks like that are very serious. So we live in some very perilous times. In the following verses, we find that there's a listing of the perils given. And if we were to look there in 2 Timothy 3, we would find in verse number 4, there is this particular trait that is amongst those who are living in perilous times, and that is they are traitors. A traitor is one who surrenders into an enemy's hands. Okay? So he calls out traitors. When we read our text, we find another listing of those activities that means one has surrendered to the will of Satan. Would you say, after reading those verses and the things spoken of here, passing through the fire and using divination and observer times and enchanter, witch, and charmer, would you say that those are satanic? I believe it becomes very obvious. One of the things I want you to notice here in verse number 9 is it says, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So when he speaks of these abominations, these actions that take place, he's telling us they are something that is learned. By the way, if we don't learn it, we're probably not going to participate, okay? But they are learned activities. And they are considered to be an abomination to God. Now, I don't know if you understand the gravity of that word, the intenseness of the word abomination. But let's go to Daniel chapter number 9 for just a moment and listen to what it says in verse 27. And this will be familiar to you. It says, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." We find this referred to a couple times in the book of the Revelation, and sometimes referred to as the abomination of desolation. In other words, something that was so terrible that God just rendered all of it desolate. God was very, very unhappy with it. It is that which is most repugnant to God. It's something he hates. It is something that he loves. And it is not something that God desires in the least little way. Matter of fact, in verse number 12, if you notice what it says here, it says, "And because," the last part of that, "and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." What was he referring to? He's referring to the nations that are practicing that. Matter of fact, those are the nations that they were to drive out of Israel. They were to drive them out because of their practice in these areas. Some people wonder, why was God so harsh on the nations that the Jew was to drive them out and to slay them? And here's the reason. It's a tremendous abomination to God to be involved in these satanic practices. And so God is denouncing any participation in these whatsoever. Now we're going to see from these verses adequate reasons to shy away from the practices. Are you ready for this word? Of Halloween. Now there's a big argument that says, well, it's just done for fun. I would agree with that. It is said, well, children, they don't know the difference anyway. I would agree with that, but perhaps that's the problem. It's done in fun, and they don't know the difference. And ignorance, by the way, my brethren, is not immunity. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children." That's pretty severe in what God says concerning this matter of ignorance to certain things. I want to ask you a question this morning. What would you think if you stepped out of your house? The month is May. It's May. Let's go. What day are we going to do in May? Anybody got a birthday in May? What day is it? May 7th. May 7th, we step out into the yard and we see a form of Julia hanging by her neck in our yard. What would you think? What's the difference between that and October 31st? I'm being very serious. What if we went out into our yard and we dug a grave and we put a marker on it and we put "rip" on it? By the way, I wonder about that word "rip," rest in peace. How can you rest in peace if you're not saved? And what would we think? Well, if that was done in June, we'd be thinking, I wonder what's going on at that house. But what do we find? We find it as decoration at this time of year. Let me ask you this question. Would you want your child to associate with a real witch? Serious. Would you want her to? Did you know this? Halloween is one of the most important days on a witch's calendar. In fact, many people believe that they were the ones who started the practice of Halloween. Well, we said a few things here, but let's look this morning at our text and see some things here, because I believe we're going to find that there's some similarities in verses 10 and 11 especially to some of the practices taking place in our day. And so let's let the Bible be our guide and to do its intended purpose. Are you willing for that? Well, let's remember this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. You're leaving out a couple. Reproof. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. How many like to be told you're wrong? You can't wait to walk to work tomorrow, walk in and punch in, and the boss walk up to you and say, you did everything wrong on Friday. I mean, you're excited about that. No, I don't think so. Matter of fact, we think that he's even thinking about it. We're going to try our best not to even get near him. We don't like reproof. Correction, we don't like correction. And yet the Bible is given to us for that reason. And also instruction in righteousness. Now notice this, because it's very important with these verses, that the man of God may be perfect. It's talking about his maturity. The next word, most folks want to change it. It's throughly. Most think it says thoroughly. No, it says throughly. Throughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, all the way through, God is wanting to do something for us. And that is that because of the Word of God, that we might, what? Have good works for Him. Now, I want us to notice this morning the practices that are mentioned here. Notice verse number 10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. I'll label this, first of all, human sacrifice. One of the most disgusting practices in pagan religions, or could I say not was, but is, the sacrifice of their children. And it's described in the Word of God as making them pass through the fire. Now the picture is, there was like a giant statue, and the arms are open on the statue, and most likely in a seated position, and there's fire that has been brewed in a place that's hollowed out, basically kind of between the legs, and the arms are out, and children would be thrown into that fire. And they were being sacrificed to that particular god. I can imagine a parent doing that. Oh, but wait a minute, it happens every day. Women who abort their children. 1 Kings chapter number 16. Listen to what it says. It says, but he walked, that's one of the kings of Israel, in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and on the hills under every green tree. That's one of the kings of Israel. In Jeremiah, it speaks about this in chapter 32, verses 34 and 35, says, but they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I have commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. In this latter passage, there is a name that is mentioned. It is also a similar name in in the Babylonian period. And that god at that particular time was called Sawin. It was spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-M, but it was pronounced Sawin. Just remember that name for a little bit. The sacrifice of children was a superstition that was responsible for the lives of tens of thousands of children. No wonder God said in Leviticus 18, "Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord." Did you notice that? "Thou shalt, neither shalt thou profane." This is a form of profanity, as one would allow such a thing to take place. Now, there's something interesting about that practice. When those bodies were consumed in the fire, and the fire would finally go out, they would then go in, they would pull the bones out of those, and kind of like rolling the dice, they would spread those out, and they would use them for divination. Now, have you ever thought about this? That was a bone fire. We call it now a bonfire. That's where we get the term from. There would be great fires lit because of all these dead children. They believed that their spirits then needed to be guided back to their homes, and thus they would build fires that they might find their way through it, and also that that fire might ward off evil spirits. A number of Halloween superstitions are about ghosts and evil spirits. Could we not say that? And so we find some interesting stuff here. Interesting enough, Moloch is the same god that you can find on the cover of the original Dungeons and Dragons Player's Handbook. I've only heard of it. I don't know what it is. We find, of course, also there are fantasy role-playing games that are known for their occultic materials. And the very same god that the pagans offered their children to thousands of years ago is still being offered today. We find it in TV series, in cartoons, in fantasy role-playing games, video games, cards, and even toys that stem from the roots of child sacrifice. And our children have been exposed to these demonic type gods of hundreds and even thousands of years ago. And sometimes using the very names of the deities. I find this interesting. Our children today are not allowed to speak openly of Jesus Christ in school, even during the Christmas holiday. And so they use different terms nowadays. And yet during the Halloween season, no one seems to mind the glorification of the occult world. We must wonder where our reasoning has gone. I find this in many regards terrifying. I don't speak these things to try to put anybody down or anything else. As a pastor, I need to let folks know, hey, these are some things we need to look at very carefully. When I got saved, I did not realize some of the things that I would quit doing and some of the things I'd start doing. There's another term that's used here, if you notice it. It talks about passing through the fire, or that uses divination. This term actually refers to having a divine insight into the future and to future events by using some sort of device. Can you think of any devices that are used that help people to so-called tell the future? I heard somebody whisper crystal balls, tarot cards, tea leaf readings, you've heard of those, palm readings. There's a few folks I would like to have them read my palm. It's kind of a fleshly thing, and I like for them to be speed readers because they don't come in. Anyone's into the story. Ouija boards and many other so-called innocent games. As a matter of fact, most of the common games played at Halloween parties were originally games of divination. For instance, have you ever bobbed for apples? My first Halloween party, I was probably 6 years of age, and they had this big old wash tub, and they filled it up with apples, and all of us got down there, and we got our old snotty noses in there all together. You know, in those days, nobody thought about any of that kind of stuff. We didn't have magic wipes when we got done. But we simply stuck our head in and tried to grab an apple with our mouth. And according to what took place many years ago, the boy that could retrieve a whole apple in his mouth would have good luck for the next year. It was an act of divination. And of course, we know there are many pictures of witches leaning over a crystal ball, supposedly telling the future. Think about this in the book of Acts chapter 16. It says, it came to pass as we, as referring to Paul, and I believe at this point Silas, we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. This is what he met up with. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. They sold her services. It said the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This she did many days. But Saul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Why did he cast the spirit out? Because it was an evil spirit. We need to be reminded of some things. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 7 through 11 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Notice the next one says here, or an observer of times. This is a term that really refers to such things as astrology, horoscopes, biorhythm charts. And this includes the observing of certain dates in connection with the planets and the stars. I've known Christians that as soon as they got their newspaper, went directly not to the comics like I would, to find out what Nancy was doing next, but they run to read their astrological chart. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 9, 10, 11 says, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. It seems they were going back to this, and Paul admonishes them for that. The Church of Satan observes the time of Halloween as, if not the most, the second most important date on their calendar. Interesting. There was a man by the name of Constantine. He saw a sign in the sky, and basically he turned all the Roman Empire into Christians. He didn't do it through the preaching of the gospel, he just declared it. And so when Constantine Christianized the Roman Empire, they realized something. And that was that there were many pagans among them. In order to keep them, they would probably need to allow them to keep certain holidays and certain things to appease them. You say, they would do that? Go to a foreign country, a third world country, where Catholicism is in power, and each one of them has their own special little customs that came out of that nation. And it's a part of that there. I've seen it in Costa Rica. It's different in Mexico. And so they keep certain holidays. One of those was the festival of, remember this name, Samhain, which was converted to commemorate the death of the saints. And that day was November 1st. And for many, it was thought to be the first of the year. And so it was known as All Saints' Day. Have you heard that term? Or All Hallows' Day. The day before became known as Hallows' Eve or Halloween, October 31st. Interesting stuff. God doesn't want us to fall into the bondage of superstitious beliefs surrounding certain times and seasons. In Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 14, what does it say there? These nations which thou shalt possess hearken to the observance of times and of diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. It's not God's intention for his people Israel. I think we could say that it's not his intention for those of us who believe in Christ. Notice next it says enchantments or an enchanter. In the world is an enchanter. Well, basically, they're one who uses some kind of magic to bewitch or to cast spells. This can be used, it can involve the use of objects or words. Matter of fact, this is exactly what Pharaoh's magicians did when they went up against Moses during the times of the plagues in the land of Egypt. We find that they did in like manner with their enchantments. The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment. With their enchantment, the magicians did so with their enchantments. And thus we see it was very common practice there. And so we find that there are certain things that can be said over and over to seek to bring about a certain result. What is said over and over to bring about a certain result in Halloween? If a youngster comes to your door, what's the first thing he's going to say? Trick or treat. In a sense, that's incantation. The dictionary defines incantation as a ritual recitation of verbal charms or spells to produce a magic effect. And this was exactly what the trick or treat ritual was. It was believed that evil spirits were allowed to roam the country and they would trick some people with some dreadful things unless you treated them. Now, for people like me to mention these kinds of things, we're considered extreme and abnormal. But let me ask you this, who's really the strange ones to do these kinds of practices? Hey, if I came to your door in April and said swords or sweets, what would you think? I mean, serious. And when you just stop and consider. Now, I don't believe there's a person sitting in this room that wants to steer things wrong in a life. I don't believe that's the thing at all. But sometimes we get ourselves involved in some things and don't know really where these things came from. You say, well, that's way back in the past. Well, each one of us is going to have to make their determination before God. But my determination is, I don't want to be associated with something that has even at some point been associated with the devil. Notice the next one says witchcraft. An enchanter or a witch. I remember the first time I met a witch. I was shocked. She didn't have a funny hat on. She didn't have a wrinkled nose. It wasn't pointed. She didn't have on a black smock. Tell you the truth, she was a rather, can I use the word beautiful without your mind going too far? Pretty young lady. But a witch is one who supposedly has an ability to manipulate outside forces. Thus they have their incantations and their spells. And witches consider Halloween, as we'd mentioned before, as a holy day. And also I mentioned some believe that they are the originators of it. Witchcraft has been glamorized in our day with TV shows and movies. How many remember the show Bewitched? Yeah. Who hasn't watched The Wizard of Oz? Hey, preacher, you're stepping on toes. Just trying to point out some things. We've been inundated and we do not realize. And it starts out rather innocent and it goes farther and farther and farther. If you were to pick up some of the video games of some young people, I certainly hope it's not in your family, you would find the extremes that it's gone to in this area of witchcraft. It's one of the fastest growing occult religions today. They are seen by many as being peaceful people tapping into nature. Here's something interesting. Witches believe in an all-powerful force, much like the Force in Star Wars, with the dark side, of course, being the evil side. There are various Eastern religions that incorporate the concept of dualism, like the yin-yang philosophy, which is really Chinese witchcraft. Witches are known very often by this term. You've heard it, Wiccan. So you heard that term? Which simply means wise ones. And they see themselves as gods holding secret knowledge. They believe their eyes have been opened to the concept of pantheism, which teaches that the divine life... I got to change my notes here because my mind just left me. The divine life force flows through every part of the universe. A lot of them would say this, we're all part of the universal mind of God, knowing good and evil. Quite frankly, it's a work of the flesh that keeps us from heaven. In Galatians 5, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. And he goes on to say, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody might say, well, what's wrong with my daughter dressing up as a witch? It's just pretend. Okay, let's dress her up as a whore. It's just pretend. Yeah. I mean, think about some of that. A charmer uses magical ornaments. We find that next year, a charmer. I'll just discuss these very briefly. Uses magical ornaments, jewelry, or whatever it takes to ward off evil spirits. Sometimes involves a magical formula. And this was exactly the purpose of the tree to appease roaming spirits. A consulter was one who, well, there's the word there, consulted with evil spirits. Are spirits or ghosts a part of Halloween? Majorly. It talks about a wizard here, a wise man. He was one who was a knower of the unknown, a sorcerer. And then it uses this word necromancer. I had to look that up because I wasn't sure how to pronounce that one. It's the practice of conjuring up the spirits of the dead and communing with them in order to seek advice or predict the future. Isn't that what the witch of Endor was practicing when Saul came to her? To bring up the spirit of Samuel. And so we find that there's many, many things in these verses. God says, these took place among the nations. And I don't want it in my country. I don't want that here. And it says, thy God to drive them out from before thee. And God is telling them, don't be a part of this. Rather, let me put it on the positive side. This is what my mother used to tell me. She said, son, if you would be so busy doing what's right, you won't have time to do what's wrong. She believed that so intensely that when she was home, I was thankful she worked another job at times, because when she was home, she thought that if she had me busy working, I wasn't going to be in trouble anymore. Boy, is that the truth. But isn't that not true for God's people? Shouldn't we be so much about the Father's business that we're not caught up in all the business of the world? So in tune with what God wants us to do, and so loving of Him that we're projecting forth His love. Yeah. I'll tell you something we used to do. I quit doing it because I didn't want the association. We used to have a fall festival to be a substitute for Halloween for our kids. That's all it was a substitute. And I got convicted about that. Why do we even want to recognize I need to substitute something? And I just felt like I need to steer you folks in a better direction. And I hope you understand my intent. And may God help us see this. And may it be something that opens our hearts and our minds to the Spirit of God. And quite frankly, there's too much in this old world to open the hearts and minds of our own selves and our children to the things of the devil. We don't need to help the cause. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege that is ours to be able to have you in our lives, to know the love and the joy and the peace. Lord, to know that you are certainly the one whom we should look at all times. Lord, we even know that we're not to draw our attention to you by using objects and trinkets and so forth. For if we're going to worship you, it must be in spirit and truth. And so, Lord God, that we might enjoy that marvelous privilege. Work and bless in the hour to follow, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.